Well, as you know, we've been spending most of the year on fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians chapter 5. And today is no exception. We are still stuck on peace. And I think we're going to be on peace for a while. I'm just going to have to be real honest about that. And I do believe that it's because of the needs in the body. I just can't break away from it. In fact, today we're going to revisit one of the subjects that we already talked about out of 1 Peter 3 on peace. And do you remember where I taught that whole fellowship, the entire fellowship was on that one verse, let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. Remember that?
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. It was very interesting how it stayed that way, the whole fellowship. I expected to teach like 3 pages of teachings, but I never got to past the one verse. Well, believe it or not, I need to revisit that. And I need to revisit it because of the needs in the body. And I think you'll find today rather interesting because I am endeavoring to target very specific needs in the body of Christ here. And I'm sure anybody that's listening or will listen to this will benefit from this. Usually I don't target this degree of focus, but I just feel led to, so I have to, and I enjoyed hearing the manifestations this morning, especially Hasmin's, and I think that really helped encourage me to do this. And so let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we will start in verse 1. Instead of verse 11, which is the theme verse that we're revisiting. And I want to focus very specifically on the concept of leading and following. And I will be talking about women, men, and children. And it's extremely important to understand God's view on this and to follow his directions. And so we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the verse, and then I'm going to give you words that are a little more clear, because you might not understand the English word that was used in the Old English. And I'm just going to help you with that a little bit. You can just jot them down. I'll just say it real briefly, but and if you have any questions, you can always re-listen to this, or you can ask me if you're here, and I'll show it to you. So verse 1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, as you know, we have a couple here that will be soon wed, and you can look at it like you're sitting in their marriage counseling, because this is a public marriage counseling today, kind of a unique way to do it. So if you haven't been to marriage counseling, now you're going to know what it's like, to an extent, okay? So likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The word conversation means behavior. I find it extremely, and you might find it excruciatingly interesting, that God puts the focus on the wives' behavior in the marriage for the man. He doesn't put it on the man for the woman. Now, I find that extremely interesting. You can't ignore that. Please don't. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any, and that's talking about the husbands, obey not the word, they also may without the word, yak, 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 be won by the behavior of the wives. It's the wives' responsibility to behave according to the word. So that when the man isn't doing the word, if he isn't, then he'll change. So the behavior of the wives in the marriage will literally make or break the marriage. Literally make or break it. You can't change that verse. It's amazing to me. To me, it's just amazing. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, the they are the men. Chaste is holy, conversation is behavior, and fear is respect. So, while they behold your holy behavior with respect. Well, that puts so much pressure on the wives, doesn't it? Because the wives have to have this holy behavior about them all the time. So that the man's always seeing this and in awe. Well, maybe that means the man's not capable of being like that. Always having holy behavior. I don't know. I mean, I always have holy behavior, but I mean, what about you? I'm just kidding. That was supposed to get a laugh, okay? That's what happens in marriage counseling, because the guy sits there and he's sweating, okay? He's just freaking out. And so I have to say jokes every once in a while, and then he goes, oh, I guess it's not going to be so bad. He wipes his head. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel. Now it's talking about the women and what they wear, okay? But this adorning is talking about the behavior too. Okay, so it's not just gold and hair and clothes. Because it says in verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That word hidden is the word private. And so, but let it be the private man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, and that means undecaying, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, there's a lot in this verse, so I got to break it into sections. But let it be the private man of the heart. Now, this is where the adorning is to take place. That's what you get out of that. So, women, you got to work it from the inside out. It's not the outside in. And it's not just the outside. It's got to be the inside out. And that which is not corruptible, undecaying. So your clothes will decay, the gold will tarnish, and your hair is going to need to be washed and fixed again. All right? But if you address the heart stuff, it stays there. I had a person tell me the other day, whatever gets you through the night. Because he couldn't understand why I was pretty much adamantly opposed to what he had said. And he was telling me about some show where there was gay guys that come in and help a straight guy decorate his house. And I'm going, why are you even telling me that? And I said to him, I said, I wouldn't let anybody come into my house like that. I wouldn't want their influence. He goes, what do you mean influence? He got kind of mad about it. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Let's go hang around with a bunch of depressed people and stay happy. Let's just stay with those depressed people for weeks and stay happy. I says, are you going to stay happy? And he tried to ignore it. And I says, I don't want their influence in my life. And then he hammered it again. Well, I've got friends, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, that's fine, but it sounds to me like you're trying to change my core system of beliefs. And you're never going to get there. You are not going to change my core beliefs. And he said, well, I don't want to change your core beliefs. I says, good, let's change the subject then. And that's almost exactly how it went. And I said that because I wanted you to understand more about how powerful matters of the heart are. You work, women, you work on putting this stuff inside, then it won't decay. And he said, well, why is your core system of beliefs like that? I said, because maybe that's the way I was raised, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. I already know if I bring up God, he gets really mad, so I said, forget that. I said, maybe that's the way I was taught, and maybe I believe that. And that came into my life decades ago. So once you get it in there, it stays. That's a good thing. That's the point. So let it be the private man of the heart and that which is not undecaying. It won't decay. even the ornament of a mild and undisturbed spirit. A mild and undisturbed spirit. You see, that's all part of the heart, where you women are mild and undisturbed. That's amazing. Which, now most women are not going to get this. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm just saying in general, out of the billions out there, in general, they're not going to get this. Which is in the presence, that's the word sight, of God, extremely expensive. It's going to take so much work. Well, how much do you have in your retirement savings account? Well, I don't know. I just haven't been able to get around to it. But you're 60 years old! It takes work. You have to be disciplined. You have to drive yourself. Otherwise, you will never have it. That's what it's talking about. God knows it's hard to do. No question about it. But it's still the right thing to do. No question about it. Verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now you see how God uses the word adorning. It's all about the inside. It's not about the outside. Some people are so wrapped up on the outside that they can't be spiritual no matter how hard they try. They're so wrapped up in their possessions that they can't be spiritual no matter how hard they try. There is nothing so important about your possessions, your clothes, your furniture, your carpet, your anything, that it should supersede spirituality. And if you have a problem with that, and specifically women, y'all need to change. There's just nothing that important about anything you do that it would ever warrant superseding spirituality. I don't know if I could drive that home hard enough. We are great excuse makers. And we get really stupid sometimes. Really stupid. And then finally we wake up and we look back and go, well, why was I doing that? And you don't even know why. You just know that you were. Especially with things of God. Especially trying to be spiritual. And so we always have to watch this stuff. But these women did. They trusted in God. And you just have to trust in God, women. When your fears creep up and you start feeling it, and you know what I'm talking about. When you start feeling it, that's when you drop everything. The carnal stuff, the sense knowledge stuff, the material stuff. And you turn to God. And you trust in Him. It's all about trusting. If you trust in me that I'm going to feed you, then you would come to every single mealtime and sit there and wait for the food. Because you know it'd be there. You trust it. Well, what's the difference with God? Why can't you trust in God? Why would you let your fears creep up and take over so that you're no longer trusting God? These women trusted in God, and they adorned themselves intrinsically, and the ultimate goal of that was to be in subjection unto their own husbands, and this is where I believe the biggest breakdown is today. And I will get into that. Verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. You've just got to do this. This is a way of life. Women, you married women, or those about to be. That's for the married counseling in here, okay? It's okay to think like this. It really is okay. You have the obstacle of the world in front of you, and it will defy your movement. Constantly. You're not going to get a chance to take a breath. It's just the way it is. And I'm sorry for that. But I didn't do it. But I have a solution. And that's good. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Don't give in to fear. Trust in God and know that other people have done this. They've come your way and it works. Now, men, when you're married, you need to help the women with this and you need to read this to them over and over maybe. Because I'm going to ask you later on to not give up. Because you're going to want to give up because of what the women end up doing to you. You're going to want to give up. But you need to stick to the word because it's all about your core system of beliefs. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You've got to know this stuff. You got to understand what the women are going to go through, how they're going to feel, how they're going to act. They will. There's no such thing as a perfect woman or a perfect man, except Jesus Christ. So you're not going to go out and marry the perfect woman. And you're not going to go out and marry the perfect man. It's just not going to happen. So get it out of your mind and understand that we got to work at this stuff. And that's a good thing, because that's where the value comes in. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. And so likewise, all the adorning in the inner man of the heart applies to you too. Likewise. Okay? So you have to adorn yourself too. But here's what you adorn yourself with. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now let me just clarify that. Because this is a cool verse. I think of this all the time. I don't know if there's a day goes by where I don't think about this verse. I have to. Because I could be brutal otherwise. I'm a man. Okay. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, bestowing value unto the feminine, the woman. It doesn't have to be a wife here. It could be just a woman too. Understand that all women are like this. As unto the strengthless, figurative wife for vessel. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, bestowing value unto the feminine side or person as unto the strengthless wife. And as being heirs together, and that means participants in common, of the grace of life, that your prayers, and this is the word for earnest prayers, this is the stuff you've got to have. Be not frustrated. When and where your prayers are frustrated, there's a problem with this dynamics, okay, as a married couple. And the problem would first need to be focused on the wife and then on the husband, because it's the wife's behavior that the husband is supposed to respect, be in awe of. But then it's the husband who's supposed to understand that. I'm looking at my wife and I like that. She's really doing the word. Wow, I guess I need to. I mean, you really work that in your head. And then you bestow value and say, that woman is of tremendous value. And then you realize that you're participants in common of God's grace. It's just a beautiful thing. Then your prayers get answered. Verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. And that compassion means to be sympathetic. Well, sympathetic in the context is understanding the woman's weakness, that she's very fragile, and understanding the man's strength, that he's the one that can learn the knowledge and then follow and see it happen, follow the word. Love is brethren, and this word love is one that we seldom come across. It's phileo, brotherly love. You pat my back, I pat yours. It's just like a give and take thing. Give and take, give and take, give and take, give and take. Okay? Be pitiful. And man, some of you guys are so pitiful. Oh wait, did I tell you what it meant? Tenderhearted. You're so tenderhearted. I had to have fun with that. Be courteous. And that word courteous means friendly-minded. Friendly-minded. Really nice. So finally, be all of one mind. So husbands and wives, men and women, be sympathetic for each other. And give and take, give and take, give and take. You're not always right. There's no person in here that's always right. You might think you're always right, but you're not. And if you think you're always right, then you're having one of those, I call it earlier, a stupid moment. We just do the stupidest things. And then we look back later and go, well, why did I do that? And then we finally submit ourselves again to God and things get better again, you know. Be tenderhearted and be friendly-minded. Well, if you're not a friendly person, then make yourself friendly. It's okay. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil. And the word evil here just means anything bad. And there's a lot of that that goes on when the fighting starts in a marriage. Or railing for railing. The word railing means slander. But contrawise blessing. And blessing means eloquent language. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. In one sense, God has called you to have eloquent language with each other. Eloquent. It's not just good words. It's eloquent language. No screaming, no railing, no slander, which I guess are in here because they come up in marriages. Isn't that the context? We're dealing with married couples. For the most part, God wants married couples to have eloquent language, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit or be heirs of a blessing. You know what blessing is? It's the same word for eloquent language. So if you are eloquent, you'll get eloquent. That's what God wants. Start speaking eloquently with each other. And I'm not talking about posh. I'm just saying, start being nice and stop cussing. Stop using foul language because it's not eloquent. It's not nice. It doesn't help generate a healthy relationship. Just be nice and speak eloquently. There's just no reason to be so frustrated that you can't control this. But many of us are. For he that will, usually I don't get involved in this kind of stuff unless two things happen. And you probably know those two things, right? The word is being broken and other people are being affected. And that's when I teach a teaching like this. For he that will love life and see good days. Now who wouldn't love life? And that's life in all of its fullness, Zoe. Everything included, and see good days. Who wouldn't want to see good days? Let him restrain his tongue, and that word tongue means language, from bad. And his lips. Lips are a pouring place. That's what the word lips mean. A pouring place, where things pour out of, that they speak no guile. And guile means like a trick, bait, or deceit. There's nothing I hate more than just constant guile. It's just sickening to me. I get so tired of it because I can't think straight. I can't, well, what does this person want? Well, why are they acting like that, you know? Why can't they just speak clearly? Of course, my wife always tells me I speak in riddles, but whatever. Okay, for he that, get used to that, okay, men? This is the marriage counseling part. They're going to look at you with cross eyes and go, what? Well, I just meant, but that's not what you said. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. Verse 10, for he that will, there's no such thing as a perfect guy, okay? So you can stop trying to be perfect. But there's no such thing as a perfect girl, so lighten up, it's okay, you know? But he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his language from bad stuff. Bad is anything bad. It's the Greek word kakos, close to kaka, bad, anything bad. They could be anything bad. It could be bad words. It could be bad subjects. It could be anything bad. Let him restrain his language from anything bad, and his lips, the pouring place, that they don't trick people, that they're not baited, that they're not deceitful. In verse 11, let him shun evil and do good. Let him seek peace. And that means to join by implication. And when you seek peace, you're actually seeking prosperity. You're seeking quietness. You're seeking rest. Is that not what every soul here would like? Isn't it time that we stop deceiving ourselves and understand that we have a common goal, peace, and press toward it? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their requests. Now, this is a different word for prayers than we saw earlier up in verse 7. These are just general requests. But the face of the Lord is against all of them that do bad stuff. I guarantee you that if you do not control your pouring place, isn't that kind of funny? I had a fit of laughter the other night. We had a website meeting. I have to tell you this. And we were looking at the Artios titles for the last year. And they're all about hell. And it's hilarious if you go and start reading just the titles. The Child of Hell, Eyes Cast into Hell, Body in Hell. I mean, it's so funny because you can make up some really good jokes about it. And I started laughing and it was really hard to stop. So that's starting with the pouring place. It just sounds funny that your lips are a pouring place. Well, stop pouring out the kakos and be nice to each other. I don't know. You got to have fun with this stuff, okay? And this brings up my next subject, and I really have to say this stuff now, because this is where I'm kind of putting on my ministering hat. And I want you to receive this. I want you to enjoy it, actually. I don't want it to be excruciating, but I want it to be a reminder that we all answer to God. And it seems to me that our homes are turning into centers of drama. They are almost far removed from spirituality. They are turning into carnal situations, sense knowledge situations, and almost no spirituality. And you know that because the happiness is almost gone. The fighting and the intensity between the man and the woman is at amazing heights. And it's time for it all to stop. It's just stupid how it goes on. I mean, look at your present situation. And this is, remember, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't try to put it on. But I guarantee you there's a size for just about everybody. Look at your situation. I mean, just how happy are you? How much joy do you have in your life today? How much did you have all last week? How much? Now just answer me honestly to yourself. I don't think there's anybody that can say, oh man, my life's great. I mean, it's just perfect. We had fun last Sunday when I taught on this stuff a little bit. Last Sunday was a precursor. We talked about burdens, and I had everybody talk about their burdens, and everybody had them. Oh my gosh. And I thought, wow, what am I doing wrong? And then Lynn and I had a talk this last week, and that helped me put it together, and that's how I formed this teaching. I still wouldn't have taught this, though. I wouldn't be teaching this, though, if it didn't work in my heart, even up till the last minute. But I really believe it has. Otherwise, I just wouldn't open my mouth. And so, look at your life, look at your situation, and answer the question, how happy am I? Am I not happy at all? I mean, I can pretend, yeah, that's acting. Might go try to, you know, make some money at it. Good luck. But I think if you can honestly answer that question, then your ears and heart ought to be open. Now, if your ears and heart are not open to this, I don't know what to do for you as you continue fighting, as you continue in your unhappiness, as you continue in your hindered prayer life. I don't know what to do for you. There's a risk here, and I'll tell you that too. Women, you have the responsibility to behave. Oh, behave. What was that movie? Austin Powers said it right. Oh, behave. You have a responsibility to behave according to the word. Now, there are women who won't do that. God forbid, couldn't come up with a good enough reason, but they do. And there are men who won't track with the word. Why not? I don't know. They choose. Every one of us answer to God. You stand before God every day, 24/7. He lives inside you. And it's your responsibility to step up to the table and tell him, I'm either doing it or I'm not, and here's why. Nobody can do that for you. But everybody's watching and wondering. Because that's just the nature of two eyes and two ears. And there's just things you can't change about this. And so why would somebody not want to do this? I don't know. Why are they so adamant, so angry, and so intensely committed to their way of life? I don't know. It's just what they choose. But we need to let the word be our standard. When God's laws of peace and order are refused, the consequences are grave. Today, women try to be men. They won't let a man tell them what to do. They just won't. They try to lead when they should follow. They have put away the more feminine characteristics or aspects of womanhood. They use intense emotions to convey their desire to lead and usurp man's leadership. They are angry and use their anger to state their position against their man and God's laws of order and structure. Their lives are racked by fears. Men, on the other hand, are perfect. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Gosh, did I say that? Men, on the other hand, are so wounded by woman's aggressiveness that they appear also as women. God forbid. They have put away the more masculine aspects of manhood. They are dramatic, emotional, and I'm not saying emotions are a bad thing. But I'm talking about the escalated ones. Almost lost. Deeply affected by the emotions of the women. They use intense emotions to convey their desire to lead, but they fall short in their actions and desires to do so. They no longer rule. They suffer. They are not allowed to rule because of the abounding fears of the women in their lives. Their lives are racked by fears. Children are deeply affected by these situations too. They're confused. The girls try to act like the older women in their lives, further perpetuating the problem. They get even further from the feminine qualities God created. They are raised to be fearful, and eventually their lives are controlled by those fears taught to them by their mothers. Boys are so turned off by these role reversals if you can even call it that, that they are generally not interested in marriage. Some are interested in natural sex, but many are not. Most boys don't have real male role models. They watch their parents sink further and further into pools of intense drama and fighting and aren't sure where to turn. Their friends so often come from already broken homes caused by these same problems and issues. They're lost. They use intense emotions to convey their innate desire to learn to lead, but they fall short in their actions and desires to do so. They are surrounded by dramatic events and seek relief from these, even though there isn't, or even though this isn't a solution to the problem. Fear eventually overcomes them too as they step out to face the world. So everybody's affected by this. I almost said infected. The consequences are grave. Body and soul are deeply affected. The spiritual connection between husband and wife is also maimed. All godly order is sent into chaos and can barely function. The body manifests the trauma and pain daily. The soul is constantly troubled, almost never settled. The spiritual side of this is manifested in the one flesh. This development practically comes to a halt. The heart of man screams for relief and seeks it at almost any cost. Sometimes the greatest cost of all, life. Sometimes just divorce. Sometimes just continued pain and suffering. The worst thing you can do is continue to ignore the absolute stupidity of these developments. It is time to admit your own will and choosing and fight to chart a different course if you want to save a sinking ship. No excuse is valid. None. I don't want to hear it. None. I don't want to hear it. No excuse is valid. You just can't cop out on this one. Proper godly action is your only hope. Women, men, and children must turn back to the Word in order to be freed from this bondage. They must all, without exception, reject the abundance of drama present in their homes and seek peace. Most families today are surrounded in a shroud of drama, generally led by the woman of that family. The women lead it, the men follow it, and the children are taught by and follow it. This drama removes happiness and peace. People are generally upset all the time because of this problem. They want to be happy, and you're no exception. You guys all want to be happy. I want to be happy. But they won't subject themselves to the letter of the Word of God. In other words, women won't follow their men, they fight them. Men won't lead their families, they try to find peace some other way, and eventually they stop trying. Children remain confused and try to find peace outside of the family and the Word. That's the sad part. This chases people away from God. No woman in their right mind has the right to do this, and no man has the right to not fight for the Word. And that's what it comes down to. You know, it's kind of funny. If I were to try to put this in a synopsis, It's all about the woman's behavior and the man's commitment to live the word. Because isn't that how this started out? Women, you behave so that men respect so they can be won by the conversation of the wives back to the word. And it's the man's commitment to demand the excellence of the word that holds this together. Why would a woman just want to behave if there was no chance at all for her man to live the word? Why? Doesn't make any sense. I mean, she'd behave what then? Because if half of it's gone, where does that leave the first half? Almost valueless. Women, stop trying to lead the men in your life. Just stop it. You don't have the right to do it. It's disgusting. It's absolutely heinous behavior. Women, stop trying to lead the men in your life. It's wrong. It's never taught from God's word. Just the opposite is taught. Women are not made to do it. God did not design it that way. It will ruin your spirituality and rob you of all your happiness. Gone. And I didn't make this up. That's just the way it is. Men seek peace as the head of the house and reject the drama. And that means you just stand there and you reject it. There's not much else you could do. You don't use physical violence. You're supposed to use eloquent speech, nice words. You're supposed to be level-headed. You're supposed to recognize the wife as the weaker vessel, the more feminine one, more delicate one is the translation I like the most. And you're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge, knowing that this is going to happen. So you stand there and reject it. You can't control anyone. You can only control yourself. Don't ever try to control somebody else. It will never work. That is not the way life is designed. But there's a lot of evil afoot that makes you think you can. So, men, control your lust, tongue, and appetite, and lead by example. Huh, interesting. And you will have to speak sometimes. If the women and children have a desire to conform to the word, you will experience success. It will take time and healing. Much damage has been caused by these problems. Children, stop rejecting the word. It is the only answer to this dilemma. Girls, subject yourselves to God's word and eventually your husband. Boys, stop being so dramatic and feminine. Learn to lead and pray that God delivers you with a woman who will follow. Men, demand, according to God's word, that the word lives in your house. Not the drama. Not the sense knowledge nonsense that is so easily introduced. The spirituality is what's supposed to rule. No woman's fear and anger, even though great, is so great that you can't demand this. A woman's fears and anger can be so great that you cannot move further forward with godliness. That's a sad fact. It is a crime against God if this develops. I firmly believe that. It stops the furtherance of humanity according to God's design. Men, you must never give in. Pray that they change. You can't control another person. What possible reason would a woman have to not conform to God's word? While it may appear that they are blaming you for their disobedience, you are not the cause, as long as you too conform to God's word. The battle is between them and their God. Let them answer to him, not you. You answer to God for your lack of obedience to God and his word. No one else can answer for you. Children, learn God's word and decide that it is what you will conform to. You can read. You can decide. Just because someone doesn't live according to God's word doesn't render it null and void. You know, somebody in your life. And so, we know that out of Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and one of those listed is peace. Fruit of the Spirit. Do we want this or not? And we know out of 1 Peter 3, chapter 1, verse 11, let him shun evil, anything bad, and do good. Let him join to peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, and press toward it. Seek peace and pursue it at all cost. Stop the fighting. Start following after peace and all the benefits and protection of God's word, and you will have it. Thank you.